This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 122. It's time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. Hey, I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Investor Financial Coach. Along with Amanda, she is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're grateful you've joined us. Check us out at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hey, what's up?
Hey, Craig, how's it going?
I'm having a great day.
Oh, good.
I mean, everything in my region is blooming at the same time. It's not like the gradual spring.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, here's pollen. Bam. That's it. So,
well, at least you'll get done with it soon, too.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. So. Hey, I'm fully vaccinated now.
I'm jealous. I want my vaccine.
I know. And I've got the travel itch hard right now. I am like shopping for travel deals left and right, and then just holding myself back from purchasing.
Yeah. It sounds like we just need to wait. What are they saying? The end of May. Yeah. And they're claiming.
I was thinking about booking something for fall, but I'm still holding back. I mean,
yeah.
There's just so much uncertainty still. And I've already had my travel heart broken three times in the last 12 months. So
I guess what I understand is 90% of Americans that want it, I guess, is the caveat, will have it by end of May.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. I'm adding the want it part in there. But that'll be good news. So if we can just wait a couple more months, then we should be pretty good. I think this summer will be very expensive for travel, though, because planes are filling up rapidly. And supply and demand. And I kind of talked about that before. I really thought that this summer, if we can get this kind of under control to some point, that all these things that have been shut down can demand their own pricing at this point. So yeah, it's going to be.
I think you're right that summer is going to be crazy, because everyone who couldn't take a summer vacation last year with their kids is going to take advantage this year. And I probably won't normalize until fall, when kids will probably be back in school.
Yeah, it does sound like everything that they're doing is setting up for everybody's going back in the fall.
Yeah.
Buses, the whole thing. So that point, then travel's inexpensive in October.
Yeah.
So
October, November, I love getting deals.
When they're all at September. Yeah. After Labor Day. Yeah. I think I'm going to do the same thing. Hey, what are we doing this podcast?
We have six social media questions to go through that cover a broad range of topics.
Yeah. We got everything from real estate to inflation to Dish Network to rebalancing your portfolio, retirement, and a mom at home with four kids and wants to work on a side hustle. So let's do your real estate one right off the bat.
Okay.
Hey, what is going on with the housing market, Amanda? There is no way I can afford a basic starter home in my state, being Idaho. I make $70,000 a year. 1,000 square foot home in my lowest income areas are going for $30,000 cash offers over the asking. And the median that they're claiming is $320,000. Is it going to crash? I guess we're talking about the housing market crash.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to wait this out or move to another state?
Well, so let me take the last question first. I don't think moving to another state is going to solve your problem, because this is happening everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. So that kind of is the easy but not so happy news. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to crash. I think at some point it might level out. If interest rates go up, then I think we'll see a slowdown in this mad dash. But I think you're right that even without interest rates doing anything, a lot of these offers are cash right now. So, I mean, these are people who aren't getting loans and aren't concerned about interest rates. So I just don't know. I haven't seen anything like this, not even back in 2008.
And what I heard on CNBC last week, when the housing numbers came out, they said sales of existing homes has plummeted. It's a supply issue that these people are doing. I mean, you can only battle for so many houses that exist.
If
it's supply and demand. And now apparently it's creeping into the you ready for this? The $500,000 to $750,000 homes is now starting to, it's creeping into that. Huh. So, and they're looking at the starter homes, and that is the hottest from what I understand.
Yeah. Starter homes are always hot.
And so there's no, it's supply. And so the supply issue is nationwide.
So I have a theory, and I have zero evidence to back this up. But my theory is that with everyone working at home or remotely and companies moving towards an ideology that accepts, I wouldn't say embraces, but accepts that workers can work remotely and be, you know, contributing members of their workforce, I think people are moving out of apartments and into houses in their more desired areas that might be closer to people's families or their desired schools. And that has some impact on driving the low supply of houses and the high demand.
I agree with that. And also a home that they can stay in all day long since they're not commuting to work anymore.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people realize that if they needed to work from home, they don't have the space for that.
Yes.
So, in their apartments and smaller homes. Yeah.
And that's interesting because my father was an architect. I don't have any architect. Well, I guess I work some architects, but I think the layout of homes in the future will be different. Like dining rooms. Who has a dining room anymore?
Actually, when I was looking at houses in Colorado a few years ago and they had dining rooms, I actually saw that as in something in the minus column. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this space?
Like I have and it's got the stupid chair railing. I'm like, this is the dumbest room in my whole house. I'm like, I never am in here.
Yeah, it's the only thing I can think of is to put some doors on it, like French doors or something, and call it an office space because it's completely useless. People do eat in kitchens, you know. The dining room is just crazy. And so many of them are carpeted, which I just don't understand.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to call it a dining room, carpet doesn't make sense.
So because of coronavirus, what you're saying is, and the pandemic is, I think the layouts of future homes will be redesigned to be more of a home entertainment center and working at home.
Yeah.
And also the kitchens will continue to be larger because that is where people hang out the most. Is that correct?
I mean, that's my theory. Again, I have no evidence to back that up.
All I have is HGTV to tell me that because I hear that a lot on the those flipping homes things. Anyway, so
and that's honestly, interesting. I think that there might be a shift from this open concept to something a little bit more contained for rooms because I think what people have learned with open concept is that when you're all stuck at home together, everyone is in the same space if you're open concept.
Well, that's not good for me. No,
it's like, give me some room. But so going back to this question here, I don't know what's happening. That's my theory. But you're not alone. I know a lot of people are really struggling to find an affordable home and it's affecting appraisals because appraisals are based on what other homes sell for. And if people are willing to pay more in your market and they're willing to pony up cash, then that's also going to impact the appraisal rate. And if you're trying to get a loan. So I know my sister and her family are looking to buy a new home. They've already sold theirs and they're doing a rent back situation. So they've got some time to find a new home, but it's crazy competitive. You know, sometimes there's 30 offers on one house in the first day and it's insane.
Wow. All right. Question number two. I believe hyperinflation is on the way. How are y'all prepping?
Yeah,
this should be a quick one. In my opinion, I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't change what I do.
So hyperinflation, to educate everyone, that's a term that describes rapid, excessive, and out of control general price increases in the economy. Mm-hmm. So generally, inflation is a measure of the pace of rising prices for goods and services, and hyperinflation is rapidly rising inflation. So typically measuring more than 50% per month. Right. I just don't see that happening.
And the Fed in their recent talks in the last few weeks are saying that's not on the horizon. It's extremely moderate. And so everything seems to be going okay. There are some increases in costs of certain things, you know, certain sectors, but they're not seeing that. They're not forecasting it. The Fed is pretty honest about that stuff. And they will make changes based on that to keep us, you know, level. It's not like how it used to be. The Fed does a really good job. Mm-hmm. In keeping everything. It's not how it used to be several decades ago where everything would go out of control. I mean, when I was growing up as a kid, I remember vaguely like interest rates were like double digits. they really do a good job at forecasting and injecting money in the system and doing, I mean, there's, it's a whole science that I have no idea, understand how it works, but good thing we have people in there that seem to watch this stuff. They adjust the rates. They play with it all day long. So I believe in the government. I don't think they're trying to hide anything, and they're not forecasting that right now.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the rumors are going to continue to persist.
The Facebook rumors.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But all the members of, you know, authority figures are all saying no.
Yeah.
So here's an example of hyperinflation. So first of all, inflation rates are typically average around 2% per year.
Right.
And since 2010, the highest annual rate of inflation in the United States was 3.14%, and that was in 2011. So it's still 10 years ago. The projected rate for 2020 is 0.62%, and for 2021, it's going to be 2.24%. Again, that's a projection,
right,
but still not anywhere near hyperinflation, which could be 1,000% or more per year.
Yeah.
Hyperinflation rate, a cup of coffee, which let's just say a cup of coffee in 2020 was $2. With the 2% projected inflation for 2021, it would cost $2.04. Not a huge difference, right?
Yeah.
With hyperinflation, it would be $22. I just don't see that happening.
I don't either. No, not in modern society with the United States and everything. We've learned a lot over many years.
Unless there's an entire collapse of our government and our economy, like has happened in Venezuela and other places.
Yeah, that's a good point. Of course, people are going to debate us on that, but no, we're not in that.
So the bottom line is I'm not prepping for it because I don't believe it's happening.
I don't either. And I do.
There's
trust
no
the
evidence that to point to that. No
None.
Credible.
None.
I should say no credible evidence. Okay. Question right. number three, cutting
yes.
Dish Network. What are you all using?
Well, I'm using, I have cable internet. I can't get rid of internet. I have cable, so I have Xfinity. But I got rid of the TV portion, so I only pay for internet high speed. And then I have YouTube TV, which at the end of the day, really isn't that much cost difference.
Yeah, I was going to say, YouTube TV has done some price
increases.
It's like
60-some dollars now. Yeah, so
yeah.
It's really
it's
no
right
different.
With the cost of cable.
But I do like the features of YouTube TV over Xfinity TV. I like the DVR thing. I like I can share my account with other people. I can, you know, I can have it on my phone. I can do everything. Like, I know you can do that with Xfinity, but
you
I really
legally
do.
Share your account with other people.
You
right?
can do up to three accounts. Yes. Legally up to three devices. So I do like the features of YouTube TV, but that's what I use. What about you?
Yeah. I'm still using cable. So we have Spectrum for our high-speed internet as well. And again, because we bundle that with our TV package, we do get a deal and it's right around the same price as YouTube TV. So why change? You know?
Yeah. No, the prices have increased. So they're adding more channels to YouTube TV. It depends on what features you like. But and then, of course, we have not even discussed Peacock, Disney Plus. I mean, we could sit here all day. Discovery Plus now. There's so many add-ons. You're actually paying more when we complained about the cable companies.
That aside, we did do an episode with comparisons of the best streaming services.
Yeah.
And that was episode number 57, if you wanted to take a look at what we had said about some of the best streaming services out there.
That was 50 episodes ago. Math is hard.
Yeah.
We should actually maybe update because things have changed. With all these different channels and stuff like that. Maybe I should research that a little bit.
You should research that and put it on the list for next week's shows.
I will do that. Gotcha. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back right after this. We have three great questions coming up. I really like the next one. I think it will deal with everybody out there about rebalancing your portfolio. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock of the Money.
There, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to three qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. help. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
To Rock on Money with Amanda and her little sidekick, Craig. And check us out at facebook.com/rockonthemoney. And also the website, rockonthemoney.com. Podcast available everywhere. You have no excuse. And of course, like if you're listening, you already found us. Hey, I got a question for you, Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you rebalance your portfolio?
This is a tricky one. So I generally don't rebalance my portfolio unless it's completely out of whack, like, because I have a mix of both the S&P 500 fund and some single stocks. If a single stock does incredibly well and suddenly now it's a huge percentage of my portfolio, like, I'll give you an example. I had invested early in Shopify,
right,
and it blew up. So suddenly what had started out as a very small percentage of my portfolio was suddenly 50%. And that just seemed like there was way too much in one single stock and too many eggs in that basket.
Right.
So I did rebalance at one point to bring that percentage down significantly. So it's more, it's not about how often, it's more about like what is triggering it for me. But in general, if you're just in funds, then rebalancing, you know, once or twice a year is generally fine.
And I have several accounts, which are 401ks, 457s. I haven't rebalanced those in years because they still meet my criteria, which is the S&P 500 index is my base and anything that beats that. As long as they continue to do that, because I picked the right funds in the first place that long term have historically, unless something changes dramatically in the stock market, there's no reason to change it. As long as I'm beating the average.
And if you're only in one fund, that fund is rebalancing
For you.
Right. So you don't have to do anything because the person managing the fund is already doing the rebalancing.
That's a good point because I used to have spreadsheets would have the top 10 stocks for that mutual fund. And I'll go in there every now and then look, I'm like, oh my goodness, they got completely out of, let's say, Apple. And they have done that. Like, oh, they got out of that. So you're trusting in the manager to do all that for you. They want to just beat the S&P 500 as their goal. So as long as they continue to do that, hey man. Do what you want.
So if you're only in funds, then you don't have to do any rebalancing at all because the fund manager is doing that work for you. So, I mean, just stop touching it.
we all do it. Too many people are looking for funds.
Stop picking at your scab, you know, like.
Yeah. Go watch a movie. Go enjoy your life. Just pick the right things. First place, leave them alone.
Yeah. Spend your time researching streaming services instead.
If your fund that you picked beats the S&P 500 over the last 30 years, I would venture to say 9 times out of 10, it's going to be doing fine the next 10, 20.
Yeah.
It has a historical track record. All right, question number 5.
Great question.
It is a great question. I get that all the time. Especially when the stock market goes up and down. People freak out. Leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Stop picking this scab.
Yeah.
Question number 5. I just want to make sure that this is the right thing to do by saving into my Roth IRA at work, Amanda.
What?
Or, I know, hold on. That's how they ask the question. That's why I'm including this. Or do I need another account for retirement?
Okay, so this individual is very confused.
Yes.
So there's absolutely no possibility that your work offers a Roth IRA because an IRA is an individual retirement account.
Right.
And it's only available to individuals, not through their workplace. You have to open it through a provider like Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard on your own individually. Now, what you can have is a 401k and make Roth contributions to that 401k at your work. Or depending on your industry, you might have a 403b or a 457.
Right.
You know, like 403bs, I think, are for teachers.
Right.
That type of thing.
And
but
nonprofit,
there's absolutely no possibility that you have a Roth IRA at work. So,
right.
So I'm not, your question's confusing. We do say Roth IRA first, if you're eligible. There are income limits on it. And that, again, is individual. You have to do that yourself. And it's maximum contribution is $6,000 per year, unless you're making catch-up contributions and eligible for those. If you have a 401k at work, then the contributions, generally speaking, you should be making Roth contributions, unless for some reason you have to do regular contributions there to bring down your income to make you eligible for a Roth IRA.
Right, there you go.
I know that's confusing, but yeah, that's the exception I generally make.
There you go. That's why I included it. We have a lot of people that are confused about Roth IRAs and 401ks.
You know, the other confusion I've heard lately is people not understanding that they can have both a 401k and a Roth IRA.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think that the maximum they can contribute to retirement each year is like the $19,500. And that's not true.
Nope.
You can do $19,500 into your 401k and then add $6,000 to a Roth IRA as a separate retirement account. And that brings you, you know, up to the mid-20s.
And that is our order of investing. Once you max out both of those, your annual contributions, then you can go into stocks, houses, Bitcoin if you want. I don't care. But we got to get those tax-advantaged accounts maxed out first. Mm-hmm. Then we can do all the crazy stuff. We got to build the foundation before we can do anything else. Question number six. Last question. I am currently a stay-at-home mom with four little kids. Hey, hats off to you, number one. I'm looking for a side hustle to help bring in some extra kind of cash. What are some people's side hustles?
We get this question a lot.
A lot. It keeps popping up. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people are doing side hustles now because the internet does make it open for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, the internet really does a lot for that.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone's situation is going to be different and everyone's ability to do certain side hustles is going to vary. So if you have four kids at home and you're a single parent, I'm sorry, that's a big assumption here. She's a stay-at-home mom, so maybe there's a second income there. Right. You probably can't be leaving to go drive for Uber or, you know, Uber Eats, because you're not allowed to have other passengers in your car when you do those things. So you're probably going to need to do something that involves sitting at a computer and doing side hustles that way, or making crafts at home and selling them on Etsy. You know, I'm not an expert in side hustles. I have a sister who is, and she comes up with the most creative things, and she involves her kids in them, you know.
Wow.
So it's Easter this weekend, right? So one of the things that she offers, and she puts it on Facebook, is, hey, do you want us to come and egg your house? And not in the traditional sense of the word egg, but she'll have one of her kids dress up as an Easter bunny, and then they'll go in the middle of the night and put a bunch of eggs in the yard, and then like the next morning the Easter bunny will be in the yard as well, and the kids wake up and there's eggs in the yard and an Easter bunny.
Oh wow.
And she'll charge a certain rate depending on, you know, the location, how far away she has to drive, and the package they buy, like how many eggs are involved, right?
That's really cool idea.
Or
actually,
if they want the Easter bunny appearance, that's extra, right? So again, you're only limited to your own imagination.
That was a great idea, actually.
Yeah, she's got lots of great ideas. That's just one example. But again, you have to be willing to do the work, right? Like,
well,
to me, that sounds like an incredible amount of work.
It is, yeah. It doesn't sound like a high margin.
Yeah, profit, like, you margin, have to, you have to go to like Dollar Tree and buy a bunch of plastic eggs and put cheap candy or something in it, you know, make it fun. Yeah. Sometimes, like at Halloween time, she does a thing where it's like glow in the dark eggs.
That's so cool.
People pay to have that so their kids can do like a Halloween hunt, you know. But so, I mean, my point is, you're going to have to come up with your own side hustle, and there are opportunities for you to make it an activity to do with your kids, or you can wait until they're at nap time or bedtime and then do your own thing online.
Nice.
For the extra cash.
It also depends what talents they have. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Like I have no creative talent, so none of the options.
You do. You're so, come on, stop. That's nonsense.
So my side hustles are all very like corporate oriented educational oriented. Like, I work full time as an attorney, putting in lots of hours doing that. So on weekends, generally, that's when I spend my time teaching online for universities, my referral business with for the real estate referrals. That's also something I put energy in on the side, but yeah.
And then mine are completely 180 degrees from you. I'm playing video games.
Yeah, I don't even know how to play a video game. That might be entertaining, Craig. Have me come visit and me drive your truck for an episode and see what happens.
Actually, they love it when the women are playing the video games. That is a big draw. Big draw.
Well, that's kind of sexist, but
you can call what you want. I'm just telling you the stats. The numbers don't lie. We're all about numbers
because
here.
I'm a woman. I'm saying because I'm not a game player.
Yeah, but they love that, though. They feed into that because there's actually a lot of couples and stuff like that stream now. There are women on there, younger women and stuff like that.
It would be genuinely entertaining to see how terrible I am. Yeah,
it can't be worse than I am. All right. But yeah.
But I'm an excellent driver. So
there you go. Oh, there you go. You can't make it boring. They don't want to see boring. They want to see crashes.
That's like Rain Man used to say, I'm an excellent driver.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to check out my video gaming, it's facebook.com/RocklandUSA, which is the parent name to this podcast. So.
Yes.
I don't want people seeing me stream that because it kind of takes away my credibility here. You're like, wait a minute, what are you doing?
Yeah, but maybe it adds to it because you're willing to do anything to supplement your income.
Well, and I started this during the pandemic when I got furloughed back in July. I'm like, now what am I supposed to do during a pandemic? I'm sitting at home. What am I supposed to do? And I already had webcams and all the stuff. I used to do it years ago. Like, let me try and stream. Everyone else is doing it. Let me try it as a side hustle thing.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe you'll be coming off furlough soon.
Oh, yeah. I know. I've been working on that, by the way. We got a lot of updates coming on that. Anyway, that was a great question. By the way, just Google it. There's so many blog articles out there of lists of side hustles. There's no end to list of side hustles out there. So just Google it. I mean, it's crazy.
The important thing to understand about a side hustle is the word hustle. Like, there's going to be work involved. This isn't where you just have quick, easy money. Like, you think suddenly, oh, Bitcoin's doing really well. I should just put money in Bitcoin and I'm going to be rich overnight.
Yeah, right.
No, you have to actually hustle.
Yeah. And the work, you have to do the work. If you look at Gary Vaynerchuk and these other guys that promote being an entrepreneur, which means you have no one to blame but yourself if it's not working. It's do the work. That is three words always show up and people don't want to do the work. You have to do the work.
Or people are like, oh, you teach online courses. That must be so easy. And honestly, like when it's time to grade papers, I just dread my weekend.
Well, as I stream on Facebook, I get thousands of people to watch me, right? And people like, so all you do is sit home, play video games on webcam? I'm like, I will honestly tell you, Amanda, and you probably find that hard to believe, I've never worked so hard in my life. I mean, in a long time. If you put the work in, I mean, I got the audience up to, in just 7 months, over 200,000 followers. And I'm not going to get into the money aspect of all that, but you would be shocked. But I put the work in, and I'm telling long days, but it was the work. There's people that have been there doing it many years, way down. I totally blew past them, but I did the work. You have to do the work. Anyway, that could be a whole nother episode, a whole episode just on gaming. And I don't think anyone would want to hear it. Anyway, so thank you very much, Amanda. That was a great episode. By the way, your husband plays FIFA and Call of Duty.
Yes, he does play FIFA.
Why don't you try and play that with him?
No, ever since the controllers started adding all these extra buttons, I can't play anymore. I don't know. Like, my brain just doesn't function.
It's not Pac-Man anymore. Is that what you're trying to say? Yeah.
I was good at the joystick game. I was good at the little dial for Pong. Yeah, yes. I could play Pong on the Atari. I was good at Nintendo with like two buttons, A and B, but only Super Mario Brothers.
I'm not
Duck Hunt. I was good at Duck Hunt. And then the last game. I retired from any type of gaming after Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sega.
Yeah. But that was the only game I played on Sega because anything that involves like figuring out how to kick or punch or shoot a gun with all these extra buttons or turn a fighter around. Yeah, I don't know.
You would not want Call of Duty. I can't even do it. Yeah, there's too many things going on. You need a full keyboard and everything. Like, there's 50 things you got around. I'm like, I can't.
And like a headset. No, with Sonic, you just have to, like, one button makes him go faster and then, like, and another button to jump, right?
On that note, this is the best part of the podcast, is right at the end. Okay, we'll see you guys on next.
So if anyone wants to pay to see that.
Hey, trust me, they'll throw you stars on Facebook for that. Trust me.
I conquered. I got to the end.
I got a brand new Dreamcast in a box here for you, by the way.
Okay. Oh, speaking of which, are you still running the promotion for the Oculus Quest?
Yes, we are giving away an Oculus Quest 2 VR gaming headset, which, Amanda, you and your husband have one. I really like this thing.
So, okay. So I guess I did graduate to gaming with that. So I play Beat Saber on Oculus.
It's a workout though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an arm workout. Yeah.
I love it. That has helped my neck and back more than anything else, than physical therapy or anything. I owe everything to Beat Saber.
I haven't played since Christmas though, so I really need to get back into that.
I'll put 5 pound weights on my wrist when I do it though. That will make your shoulders burn. Feels good. Feel the burn. All right. We'll be back with episode Thursday. So thank you guys. And thank you, Amanda, for your time. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.